CliffCentral.com.
Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful
world. Come on. Come on, Lewis. Nice, huh?
It's such a pretty song.
Yeah, you see, we can play anything we want here because we don't have a genre that we have to comply with. License conditions. Don't have to explain why we're playing a song that's 50 years old. Louis Armstrong.
What a wonderful world.
I see Sia's dressed very nicely today. What's happening there?
Really?
Yeah, you've dressed up specially. Is this because got like my boys coming in? No,
you guys, let's calm down. Firstly,
I heard.
Well, I don't know, Sia. Let's not calm down because I don't understand why you walked in this morning with a scarf around your neck and a second one in your hand, and you asked me which one you should wear. That has never happened
before.
Okay, please answer me this: do I not predominantly wear all black?
Yes,
which
you
is
do.
What I'm wearing.
Go on.
Yes.
And then I just wanted to, you know, because it's Friday and something different.
Yeah.
But I just had two little light scarves that I didn't know what to do with.
I've just never had to pick an outfit for you before until today. And we're just wondering, you know, we're just trying to connect the dots.
You guys, Katlego's not gay. So, like, we're just going to be friends one day. And so,
sorry, what's that got to do with it?
No, yeah, that doesn't matter. You don't care if you're hitting on someone who's straight or gay. Mm-hmm. You don't mind.
Jennifer Lopez is not a lesbian, but I still would.
Oh, yeah. So, nothing wrong with that. All right, Sia. Just, you can't.
I'm just trying to look presentable for the office. So,
and
you're ungrateful.
You've never looked unpresentable.
Thank you.
I've never looked at you and thought you're a slob. Ever. Anyway, all right, listen. I'm very annoyed with Jonathan Witt. Is this a spoiler, Flax, the thing he wrote about billions? Is that true?
Totally false.
Thank God, because I swear I'd instantly cancel the Renegade Report.
Somebody even said on Twitter, the season finale of Billions, Dumbledore dies and Snape is the half-blood princess.
Well, yeah, Jonathan Witt says, finale of Billions wasn't that great, although admittedly, X dying was unexpected. But it's not true, so don't panic. I did when I saw it. But don't forget that on Monday, Jonathan Witt will be on the show with us to talk about the Renegade Report.
And Ramon.
Ramon.
And he says to me, oh my God, it's Louis Armstrong, not Lewis. Well, he used to say Lewis. A lot of the time he would say Lewis.
Let's see if they're correcting you on Monday still.
Oh God, those
to your
two
face.
Those two are so full of themselves. And then Lindsay says, just the right song to put you in the mood for the weekend. Thank you, Flax. Yeah, isn't that nice? And who would have thought that Flax would find a song like that for you? Andre says, the song always makes me tear up. Thanks, Flax. Now I need to pretend like I had a huge yawn in the office. And Michelle says, you guys need to see a certain music video. And then she's given us an address, Flax, so you check that out. And Cock Josh is back, everybody.
Hey.
Wow.
Josh?
Hey, bitches, I'm back. He says, I've been too busy getting my cock sucked. Hey, Mubs, what's your cell phone number?
No, Josh. I already have a victim lined up for the weekend.
Oh.
Let's talk again next weekend.
All right. Now, let's move on without wasting any time. It's time for Mabale to give us the news.
La, 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 la. La 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 la.
Oh,
thank you.
Over to you.
Let's apply our minds here and attempt to answer the question of why it is our ancestors became monogamous.
Well,
what were some of the reasons behind that?
I don't know, actually. Help me with this.
Okay. So a lot of very clever people, if you will, people like Esther Perel, who is a Belgian psychotherapist, her work is recognized, you know, in the sense that she's the kind of person who looks into professional relationships and into the complex science behind human interaction. And she once said in a TED talk that monogamy had nothing to do with love. Men relied on women's fidelity in order to know whose children they were raising, and in order for them to know who to leave their belongings to when they died. And so there are more answers that are being thrown in terms of why it is that we became monogamous, or at least our ancestors. Now, a lot of them are saying it actually had nothing to do with love or religion.
Aww.
This latest study actually says that it had to do with STDs, Gareth.
Oh, no. That's not romantic.
Our ancestors didn't choose monogamy out of anything so high-minded as love or religion, according to this new study. Rather, it was most likely due to skyrocketing rates of STDs, chlamydia, syphilis, gonorrhea, from all the polygamous sex that was being had.
Wow. So they were pumping up a storm. It was basically a big orgy in those days. And then they decided, whoa, too many STDs, stop the clock, everybody stick to one.
Too many STDs, and then men also realized, I need to know if I'm raising my children or not.
Yeah, because they didn't know whose kids they were.
They didn't know whose kids they were raising.
Why should I raise Fred's kids?
Within hunter-gatherer groups of 30 or fewer people, STI outbreaks would have a minimal effect on the larger population and be over relatively quickly. But as humans took up farming and settled in larger groups, infertility causing STDs would spread rapidly and hurt a group's ability to propagate itself. Researchers were able to demonstrate this using computer modeling. And this research shows how events in natural systems can strongly influence the development of social norms. So men with multiple female partners would have greater rates of STIs and less chance of reproducing. As monogamous men bore more children, their behavior was copied and was taken up as, that is what we should be doing. Yeah. We should all be sticking to one woman.
Olisi seems to have it all together, so we should copy him.
We should copy him because look at all the spawn that he's able to produce.
Right.
I can't produce anything because I'm carrying gonorrhea and, and syphilis and God knows what else.
Right. Okay, so the next time someone says to you, I'm monogamous, and that's the way God intended me to be, pure and virginal, and now that I've got a husband, monogamous. Finally, my vagina's been unlocked. You say to them, no, honey. Yeah, in fact, you get Gwede Mantashe to say it for you. What do you say, Gwede?
No.
Exactly. You're actually monogamous because STDs back in the day chased everyone into monogamous situations and relationships. Very nice.
It would also benefit monogamous men to punish non-monogamous men in order to secure the future of the group.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, I mean, according to science. You know, science is always
science
conducting studies to try and answer some of these questions. And there are a lot of theories as to why our ancestors decided monogamy is the way.
And usually those theories are not very romantic.
Oh, no. I mean, the fact that it has to do with STIs is not romantic at all.
Yeah, so...
Sorry, did you just say no? I think you just did.
Oh, did I? Sorry. It's contagious.
No.
It's contagious like an STD.
So the little optimist in me now saying, so what about love? Was that never a factor? Is that never a thing?
No, not back in those days. See, back in those days, it was about survival of the fittest. It was about...
It still is. I got bad news for you.
You know, as I said, it was about men needing to know that they were raising their own children and needing to know who I'm going to leave my cows to when I die.
So
it really was just as basic as that.
Dare I say that Kenegunene was right when he said, true love does not exist. True love is just a magazine.
That's a very good quote.
That's what.
Is that what he said?
Good for him.
What he said. I love that quote. But by the way, talking about the opposite of monogamy, Spain has been listed as the top unfaithful people in Europe.
Oh, really?
And so with that said, they're all very, you know, current in this whole technology race. And Spain has now created the world's first ever mattress that can detect infidelity.
Please land.
What is it? Check the weight of both partners and goes, oh, hang on, this is not your husband.
Oh, yes. So from the outside, just looks like your average normal mattress. But there are 24 ultrasonic sensors on the inside that generate a 3D map of the mattress to show exactly which areas are receiving greater pressure and at what movement is taking place. all in real time. So this can all be recorded and all of this information is sent to you using an app on your phone.
What if you don't know, but your wife has bought this mattress?
You see? So your wife now, even if she's sitting at work and it's during the day and you think you can get your freaky on.
She can check in on you.
With the little side chick during the day. She can totally check up on you. She knows where you were, what sort of position, for how long.
This is why, as a rule, you should never bring your mistress into your house, into your own bedroom. It should be in a hotel. It should be at her flat. Never at home.
Listen, all people and nations. My buddy is absolutely right.
But this is crazy. You'd think, you know, the progress in mattresses with them just trying to make our sleeping more comfortable. No, it's more about infidelity. That's what it's all about.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, my word. We're a lost cause, humans. We're a total
we're a disaster,
lost cause.
Please. Total disaster.
Would you get this? I think it's a bit too much. Like, you know, rather be oblivious
rather
and not
go
know.
Rather go through his or her phone.
Old school like that.
If you're going to go to this trouble, rather just go through the phone. If you're that suspicious, just do that.
Or if you're in a relationship where there's suspicion, then why are you still in it? You know what I mean? If you can't trust the person you're with,
get out. If there's no trust, get out. It's already over. Bad news for you, but it's not going to get any better. Right?
True.
Right. Okay. Just got the Spanish music playing in the background. Well, that's interesting. Thank you, Sia.
It's also very creepy, though, isn't it?
It is creepy.
A mattress busy reading you, what position you're in. I mean, how revolting. Who's going to download that data and use it? Can you imagine the marketing company that's buying that data? Your mattress is on the internet communicating with other mattresses, comparing the way people carry on at night. Come on. Don't let these people into your house.
Oof.
Yes, Flex.
What accounts for the people that are having sex on the couch with other people?
Yeah, exactly. Or on the floor. Or in the shower.
In the car.
That's so uncomfortable. You ever tried that? It's terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. There's no car that you could have sex in. They're all horrible for that purpose. All right, what else do we have?
Okay, let's talk about popularity, because I think most of us go through a period in our life where we think, oh, I just want to be popular. I just want everyone to like me.
Yeah, when you're 13.
Well, you're never more popular than when you are at age.
I was waiting for that.
I was waiting for that.
Three.
You're very fluey. You do realize this.
It's my sinuses. I'm not even fluey.
Okay.
It's anyway. The non-coastal life.
What age are you when you're at your most popular?
25, Gareth.
No way.
Really?
I was going to say most naked, but yeah, 25.
Or at least that's the age when we tend to have the most people in our real-life social networks. Real life. We're not talking Twitter followers or Instagram followers or Facebook friends. We're talking about actual face-to-face interaction with people in our lives. Again, according to research recently published in the journal Royal Society Open Science.
Hey, next year's your year, Flax.
People actually speak face-to-face nowadays?
Yeah, they still do that occasionally.
Everything's done on social media and tweets.
Sometimes you may find people who can actually articulate a sentence in person.
Yeah, I've been trying to minimize my sentences to 140 characters.
Well, researchers, what they did was they analyzed one full year's worth of cell phone records for 3.2 million customers of a European telecom company, and they found that the average number of people a person calls or is called by in a given month peaks at around age 25.
Huh.
That's when you're talking the most to people on your phone.
Well, it's because you're good-looking at that age. And trust me, if you're not good-looking at 25, you're never going to be.
After that, your number of regular social connections nosedives until around age 45 or so. One important conclusion that can be drawn is that the average number of contacts is quite modest. In most cases, people focus their phone-based social effect each month on around 15 people. They note that this corresponds to the number of friends and family members people typically have face-to-face interactions with in a given month.
Okay.
Now, here's an interesting thing. Researchers found that men tended to have more social contacts than women in their 20s, but at around age 39, that flips. So women then have more social contacts for the remainder of their lives.
Okay.
It's just something that they noted, not something that they can actually explain for the moment as to why that happens.
I can't explain it either. No idea.
I just thought it's because in their 20s, men, you know, are like chasing ass, and so that's when the most interaction happens. Right. But then later on in life, they're like,
That's a good way of going, yeah.
But I don't know why the woman would, like, what are women doing in their 40s that they suddenly have more social contact than when they were in their 20s?
Because they look at their husbands and their boyfriends and they go, oh my God, I need friends. they're just so unimpressed with the creature they've married, decided to settle down with, and they go, oh, I better make a whole bunch of friends.
Would this social interaction not have anything to do with marriage, that you're now getting of an age where it's seen as you should get married closer to your 30s, so you have to start meeting people and testing out other people? So that's why you start...
No, but it never used to be like that. I mean, this is the... You, me, and maybe half a generation back were the first generations really to get married after 25. Most people before then were married by 25.
Yeah.
You know, so your 30s is not evolutionarily the time you should get married.
I think millennials nowadays see 30 as like, yeah, then you start thinking about getting married because you want to do as much as you can until you're stuck in a marriage.
Yeah, you see, stuck in a marriage. So marriage is bad.
Yeah.
Like, that's a perception.
Yeah.
Yeah, because so many marriages that millennials have watched in their parents' generation that
divorce
have fallen,
rate's highest.
That have, yeah, that have fallen apart.
I'm pretty sure on a graph you'll see right now divorce rates at its highest ever.
It keeps on going up.
And more these days, when you talk to millennials, they'll say, well, I don't see the need why I should get married at all.
Right.
And then most of them are putting it on until much later.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you say, Alan Ford?
I'm not saying it. All I'm saying is he's...
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for the call. Very good. I've got something for you. Do you want to hear the top songs in Finland?
Yes, please.
I knew you would. Isn't this exciting? All right, so here it is. Finland, of course, a well-known country, lodged between Russia and Sweden. There's not much that goes on there, especially now that Nokia is basically closed down. So Finland has reindeer, and otherwise they have these three great songs. The first one, Etel Nyt von Sutis Mitan, the number three song by the Nika Ankara Reed. Those Scandinavians are so weird, man. I heard they have to take tablets because there's so little sun they get depressed. Seriously.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Oh, shame.
Okay, that's number three. Number two, Lempo by Elastinen, which sounds like a chemical. What horrible music these people listen to. And the number one song in Finland is Serenit by Evelina. I think you're going to like this one. If I went to a restaurant, there was a guy on a guitar playing this song, I wouldn't be able to eat.
Well, you wouldn't be able to anywhere. It'd be some raw fish stuck across your face.
Oh, wait. Oh, wait. Here it goes. Kind of disturbing. Finnish rapping, there we go.
Reminds me of Jack
Battle. Yeah. Alright, well, there we go. Now you know something you didn't know before, that the number one song in Sweden is Serenit by Evelina. Isn't that exciting? Huh. What else have we got in the news?
Well, you know Mark Hamill, right?
Star Wars. Luke Skywalker.
How do you reckon he is psychologically or mentally? Because he was Luke Skywalker than nothing else, right?
Yeah, he had a tough time. I remember he went through a very sad and severe depression because he was kind of Luke Skywalker and that was all. And nobody would use him for anything else. He was too famous for being Luke Skywalker. and there wasn't anything else that they could use him for in the movie. So his career as an actor took a massive nosedive.
Oh, dear.
Oh, well, yeah.
There is now a collection of, like, postcards and autographs that are servicing on the internet from Mark Hamill, a guy who literally just doesn't care. So for so long, people would be like, hey, Luke, sign this. And he's like, oh, fuck. So anyway, these things are surfacing on the internet now are just so funny. So there's like Luke in situations in the movies as Mark as Luke Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
And he signs his name, but he captions the pictures really awkwardly. So like this one guy, he just says, time to get cocky, Mark Hamill. Or, I wish I was at Toshi Station, and he's just standing there. There's another one that's just like, when his house on Tatooine was burned down. He just captioned it, darn it, I told you, Uncle Owen, not to smoke in the house. And there's another one that just says, this bearded guy's a loser. Hope he doesn't have kids. So I'm Mark Hamill. And then, like, there's just pictures of him eating, and it's like, this food sucks, Mark Hamill. Class of 78, Jedi High. just so many of these things. Pretty funny.
So obviously he was amusing himself because he didn't have a lot of, you know, happiness in his life, and at that stage he was probably also quite annoyed.
But can you imagine, like, a kid who has a card which has George Lucas standing next to Mark Hamill, and he's like, oh, this is so cool, I get Luke Skywalker's signature. So he goes, yes, George, but just try acting to these scripts, signed Mark Hamill.
And kids don't want sarcasm.
It's like him standing with his lightsaber, and he's written, keep this in your wallet if you're a pansy fanboy, signed Mark Hamill.
Oh my god, that's insulting to the person who brought it to him.
Yeah, and there's a picture of a spaceship, and he's like, world's largest bong for sale, call Luke, 555-WEED, signed Mark Hamill. And simply, this is a really crappy card, and his signature.
Wow. Wow, this guy, he must have had some serious anger issues.
Like a whole thread of all these things. And just
there's a lot of passive-aggressive stuff going on there, right? Nikki says, Mavs, your question as to why women would have more relationships after 39 is because they're in a sexual prime in their 40s, according to Nikki. Then Vanessa says, I think women in their 40s have teenage kids that can look after themselves so moms can live again.
Mm.
And Sifred says, I had most poontang when I was 25 years old.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, you got less to do, you know.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And then Vessel saying he saw a picture of our guest yesterday, Mark, and he looked like a demon himself.
Oh. I mean,
people are very, people are so mean. Anushka says, I don't need that fancy mattress Sia was talking about. I am psycho, and my husband knows that he and that little slut will be toast. There you go, Anushka, climbing in with all guns blazing, right?
That's right.
All right. So, what else do we have that we need to know about today?
Well, yesterday, Gareth, the Center for Tissue Engineering launched South Africa's first skin bank. We have a lot of these banks, right? Sperm banks, this and that and the other. And yesterday, we launched our very first skin bank. It will store donated skin from deceased people for up to 2 years in a glycerol solution.
Yeah, this is useful for particularly for burn victims.
Good egg.
Right.
A regular supply of donated skin has been non-existent in South Africa until now. The center already stores donated corneas, bone, heart valves. So why not add some skin? About 268 people in South Africa have severe full-body burns each month.
Wow.
And without donated skin, many of them die. Many people don't die because of the actual burn, but rather they die from the body's stress response to the burn and lack of skin. Because when a patient's wounds are covered with donor skin to prevent infection, the skin fools the patient's body into thinking that they are covered in their own skin. That way their body relaxes, and the person has a greater chance of survival. Donated skin also prevents infection, it keeps fluid and heat in the body, and it covers the nerve endings.
Well, it's our biggest organ, isn't it?
This is true.
Yeah.
Without donated skin, all they can do is use a dressing, Gareth, but then apparently they need to remove that and change it every 3 days, which is painful, and it also leaves scars.
Hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, I would love to see a black person's skin on a white person, but like a racist. You know, a racist gets burnt in a fire, and then they say to him, I'm sorry, sir, but we've only got black skin here. Or they don't even tell him that, because he's unconscious. He's third-degree burns all over his body. and he's lying there in the theater, and they cover him in a black man's skin.
Well, I mean, given our country's demographics, there's definitely going to be more black skin than any other.
And then this racist wakes up, and can you imagine how they're not going to deal with that?
Well, they'd probably kill themselves.
No, I think they'd just have to learn to not be an asshole. I look at the silver lining and go, oh, so really this whole thing is only skin deep. Thank you, black people, for helping save me. And similarly, you get like, you know, some person who's been mean to albinos, for example. And they end up having to get a white skin graft.
Wow.
Be nice. Yeah. All right. I think that could be a solution to all of our problems. Why don't we all just go tomorrow and get one arm in the opposite race? If we all did it, there'd be plenty of skin to go around. And if one of your arms is black, you can't be a racist. Because you'd be mean to yourself.
That would be the new line. It won't be, I'm not a racist, I have black friends.
It'd be, look, I've got a black arm.
I'm not a racist, I've got black skin.
Right. Look at me, I've got a black arm. You can't hate me, brother.
What? What did you just say?
Yeah. I like that. All right.
That's real commitment to the cause.
Big time. God, I'm so glad it's Friday. Oh.
Yeah.
So like Chewbacca from Star Wars. I'm so ready to just... This week has been long, man. It's all those four-day weeks we've had.
Yeah, it takes a while to get back into your normal routine.
Correct. Hey, look at Katlego. He's filming himself coming up the stairs.
Only normal?
Yeah, of course it is. Is he Snapchatting? Is that what he's doing?
I think he is Snapchatting.
He's big on Snapchat.
You may have named him Shonda.
He's like one of SA's biggest Snapchatters.
Oh, to know what CS heart rate's doing right now.
It must be bouncing up and down. All right, so Katlego's coming in a moment or two. We'll talk to him.
This is the first...
Yeah?
This is the first time him and Sia have met face to face.
Really?
I wonder what their first words are going to be.
Let's listen.
Perfect.
Two sugars. Oh, milk and two sugars. There we go.
Straight for the tea.
Yeah, straight for the tea. That's what we know. So there, that's how it happened. Okay, everybody. We need to get cracking. We've got lots to do this morning. I do want to quickly get to one or two of these emails because we've got some time. First of all, this is from Quentin. Do you want to hear this, Mavs?
Sure.
I was listening to Tuesday morning's podcast. I heard you guys talk about your friend that had passed away from cancer. I'm very sorry to hear that. Your discussion with the team made me think of a few things I'd like to share with you. I haven't lost anyone close to me in years, so I've sort of lost touch with the pain of losing someone. Nonetheless, I feel for you, and I have an aunt who's currently in critical condition because of that dreaded disease. When I last saw her 6 months ago, she was looking quite well considering her condition. Now she's in hospital, and from what family members tell me, she's not doing well and quite possibly on her deathbed. God forbid, I have not gone to see her in hospital because I want to remember her as I saw her 6 months ago. This might be a selfish gesture from my side, but I don't want the image of her suffering to be the last one that I remember. Nonetheless, I hope that she got well again. She gets well again. Just a thought. And thought you should know about it. Cheers, Quentin. Now, what do we make of that?
Well,
you want to remember her a certain way, so you just go and, you know, you don't go and visit her. What do you think?
Yeah, look, that happens a lot because, you know, people process loss differently. There's no wrong or right way of doing it, I don't think.
Yeah.
I think it's very selfish when people think like that. You're not thinking about how the other person would like to go, that they actually want to spend time with you before they go. You're thinking about yourself and how you'll feel.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sort of more on that page. I think you should go. You know, if it's really about them, if you care about them.
Yeah. Make the time that you spend with them a happy time. Like, go there, maybe bring
Quentin,
ice cream and have fun.
Quentin, you're an insensitive asshole.
Because when, God forbid, she passes, you're going to regret the time you didn't spend with her.
Yeah, go and do that, Quentin. You've still got time. Then this came in from Rob. In Cape Town, we pronounce Colcaccio as Colcaccio and not Colcaccio like Garrett says it. Can you find out what the real way is? I don't want to sound like a kook. Well, Rob, we actually spoke to the guy who started Colcaccio, and he says it's Colcaccio. Otherwise, I wouldn't say it like that. I used to say Colcaccio. Still, occasionally, I'll find myself doing that. But now we know. And Jonathan says, here is the crawler for the movie Ben mentioned about when you guys were talking about the office ghost problem. And it is apparently, what is it called? The
I
movie?
Can't remember what the movie
okay,
was.
Okay, well, Ben, we've got a trailer for you, so you can go and see what that movie was.
Nice.
All right, very good. A quick look at the Hotbox Countdown, and then we'll get to Katlego in a second. So we've got a couple of videos today. You can always go and check them out on cliffcentral.com. I might not have a chance to go through all of them, but let's take a quick look, shall we?
Okay.
All right. The first one is the one that we played the other day of the brothers convincing the little sister the zombie apocalypse had happened. It's very cruel, but it's very funny. The voice in the Ukraine is a guy called Pierre Edel, who did A Whole Lot of Love by Led Zeppelin, and apparently people are going wild for this. Do you want to hear it?
Please.
Right, so let's take a listen. This is a version of A Whole Lot of Love by this Pierre, whatever his name is, in the Ukraine. And people just say this is the best version of that song since Led Zeppelin. I didn't even know the Ukraine had the voice. I don't even think they have freedom of speech. And this guy's all tattered up. He's got those big earrings.
Whoa!
Whoa! Oh, these judges are so annoying. Good voice, huh? What a voice. Cool, huh? If you can, if you manage to ignore the judges, it's a very, very good show. So there we go. That's the dude from the Ukraine doing A Whole Lot of Love. Very impressive cover. The next video in our little lineup today, and by the way, all of these are on cliffcentral.com. You can go and see them. A lip sync battle with Melissa McCarthy. We love Melissa McCarthy, right?
She's funny.
She's hysterical. She's been in a bunch of different movies. And everything she touches seems to turn to gold.
Now,
here she is with Jimmy Fallon.
We'll take turns lip-syncing sections of well-known songs.
So
each one of us trying to
lip-sync. Obviously, because to lip-sync, you'll need to see it. So you can go and take a look at that. But Melissa McCarthy's pretty hysterical. All right, very, very good. So a couple of those. And Jimmy Fallon is just doing everything he can to retain those ratings, man. He's dancing around on the stage like he's completely lost his mind. And I hope it's working for him. Beyoncé was born in Durban, her mother reveals. Have you heard about this?
Yes.
Do you know this story?
Yes.
Do you believe it?
No.
What? Not? Okay, well, here is Beyoncé's mom, everybody.
Minisiso sami ukuthi uBeyonce angithinte sihlale phansi sikhulumisane ngoba uyindodakazi yami ngamnika ikhapuli eyayivakashe ngo-1984 ehotela engangisebenza kulo eThekwini ngasemtateni kushuthi ngimnika labantu ngoba ngenzela yena ukuthi abe safety.
All right, so far she said that there's an American couple who came to this hotel she was working at, and she gave them her child. And Home Affairs didn't ask any questions when she just was taken on a plane by this other couple. Right? No documentation coming in, no documentation going out. That's how Beyoncé ended up in America. And this lady in Durban is her real mom. Help me translate some more here, man.
eThekwini. Ase ngithi mina hayi ke indodakazi yami nginikele abantu bayomkhulisa phesheya. Hayi ke ipheleke iminyaka ngilonge imfuna. Ngize ngimbone ke sengimbona kumabona kude ngithi mina how.
So years went by and then she turned on the TV And she was so surprised because there her daughter was, Beyonce, rich and famous. Can you believe that?
Well, I mean, if you look extra closely at the clip, you will notice that at the bottom of the screen, it reads 28-hour news. And you might also recognize the woman in the clip as quite a well-known comedian in our country. So it's one of those clips that are fabricated, you know, to go viral and to get a response out of people.
Well, it's certainly done that. And we love it. Isn't that great? We've got a voice note I'll get to in a second. Let me just wrap it up with the last of our two videos on the countdown. Well, one more. Kristen Bell slapped a reporter.
Who's Kristen Bell again?
She's a actress.
Yeah, she was the soap star, I think. And she slapped a reporter. Do you want to hear what happened?
You're in this. You're the boss. She's not. Who's the boss in this?
She's Veronica Mars.
I don't really care, Kristen.
Okay.
Well, baby, don't get it.
She takes him.
It's really
woo! She takes him down because I think he's drunk.
He sounds like it.
Yeah, she just looks at him and she's like, no. This is not going to happen.
Who's the boss in this? I don't really care, Kristen.
Okay.
Well, baby, don't get it.
It's all for real. She takes him down. Good for her. What a sweetheart.
He's drunk, and she wanted to turn to walk away because she must have realized this is going to be a waste of my time, and I think he probably reached out to try and grab her.
He grabbed her arm, and she was like having none of it. So she just slapped him. I love it. Isn't that great? All right. Let me get this voice note up here, and then we'll get Katleho in. It is, what is it now? 7:40 already. Wow, we're running out of time on this show this morning. Seems we've got too much to talk about and too much to do. You know you can send us voice notes. If you're on WeChat, you could do that. You can also send them to mike@cliffcentral.com, and we get to all of them. Here is today's. This one is from Nikki. Nikki, go ahead.
It's Kokakio.
Confirmed, Kokakio.
Yeah, well, Kokakio to you too. Yeah, thank you, Nikki. Telling us how to pronounce Kokakio. And, of course, that was the video Hotbox Countdown brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. You can head on down for a slice of the good life. Colcacchio Pizzeria have just launched their new loyalty rewards app. If you're looking to get rewarded for every time you visit your favorite pizzeria and for your money spent, then download their app today or visit colcacchiorewards.co.za. Start earning slices. And Colcacchio Rewards are simple. You eat, you earn, and you repeat. It's that easy. Oh, hell yes. Look at who's here, Mubs. We've been waiting to talk to this guy for a long time. I've met him once or twice before, and now he's finally in our studio. He's actually taken a break from his own show to be here this morning. So let's give him a big, loud, noisy hello. How are you?
Good morning
to
you, Gareth, and team. It's so good to be here. But I can't believe you have been waiting that long to have me on your show.
No, really, I have.
Thank you so much. Wow, I'm honored.
Let me tell you something. You really are one of those people, it strikes me, works damn hard.
I don't feel myself working hard. I just feel myself plying myself into the passions that I have. And people see it as hard work. For me, it's not. It's fun. Fortunately, I get to do what I love doing.
I mean, you don't hate waking up. Yes, that's Sia, who
Sia just
brought
made
you
me
the
coffee. This is amazing.
Sia's your biggest fan in the universe.
Mm, he really is.
Hasn't he been filling your inbox with messages of, oh, you're the best?
No, not yet. We haven't gotten to that level of stalkers yet.
Okay.
These are Zena levels, isn't it? They climb up. You know?
But has he started stalking you in any way?
Well, there was this one event that we went to. It was the South African of the Year Awards. And I remember him kind of pulling me to a corner and the conversation kind of extending.
And he said, you are the most amazing human being that has ever lived.
I will not deny these allegations.
I'm so blown away by you. Please, can I take you home to meet my parents?
I am here to be named and shamed this morning.
Now, he is a great guy, man. Thanks for coming to you. Thank you.
All right. Now he is. So, Katleho, I mean, well, people come up to you all the time. How do you do TV well? I mean, how do you become a TV presenter? How does this even happen?
For me, it happened by chance because I was part of a band called Flip a Coin when I was in my varsity days, and through us performing at different...
you guys did a cappella stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so like the same stuff that the Pentatonix do and the Soil does, that kind of...
You were there first.
You could say so. And so through us performing at different festivals, I got discovered by a guy called Jorne van Heestien, who worked for the De Cut magazine. And De Cut was in the process of trying to put together this lifestyle lifestyle TV show like a Top Billing, but for Afrikaans audiences, and because I speak Afrikaans, he thought I might be ideal for it. So he told me about the auditions.
They are so, I mean, for Cakenet, they are so desperate to find Afrikaans people or black people who speak Afrikaans, right?
So
you got to be a prize ticket winner.
It was for SABC 3 at the time, and so did the audition, got into a taxi, got to Joburg for my first time, and did the audition, and that's how it all came about. And from De Cut magazine, I went on to 50/50. From 50/50, that's when I got the call to be part of Espresso.
Right.
Yeah, and so it's never something that I really planned on doing.
But what a career path, man.
Absolutely. I mean, 10 years ago, I was meant to be an accountant somewhere at PwC.
So where were you from? I mean, how did you end up speaking Afrikaans?
Well, home is Potchefstroom. That's where I grew up. And Potchefstroom.
Potchefstroom.
Potchefstroom, daar in die Noordwest provincie.
Really?
And that's where my Afrikaans comes from. I was part of the Northwest Children's Choir in 1998.
Yes.
And
yes, I can't believe it.
And so during our practices, I mean, I was part of the 2% that made up the English speaking part of the choir. Yeah. The rest of the kids were all Afrikaans. So I thought that, you know, in order to learn about the music, to learn about the culture, and really immerse myself in this choir experience, I need to learn their language. And so I started, you know, doing things like learning how to call older people oom and tani instead of just yay, hey, yay. Yeah, and simple things like that help you to understand the culture.
I never cracked that one, I'm afraid.
Really?
Yeah,
oom and tani?
Nah.
In yay?
Yeah, it's this whole idea that old people automatically deserve respect, which I've never liked since I was
Well, you'll be very fortunate then to have not met my late grandmother. She was all about that. Eh?
Oh, really?
She was all about that.
And I'd probably get beaten up in Potchefstroom within 5 minutes.
All the time.
Yeah, for sure.
Not a violent time. Not a violent time at all. But yeah, so that's how it happened. That's how I got to speaking Afrikaans. And I think throughout my life, I've just always been... trying to understand people's culture through language. And it's served me well so far.
You always seem to have loads of energy. I mean, do you wake up some mornings, because you do a morning show like we do.
Yeah.
Wake up some mornings and you just, the last thing you feel like doing is getting out of bed.
Of course. Of course, there's that.
So what, when you go on TV, you just switch it on?
For me, it comes from a sense of gratitude. I realize just how lucky I am to be able to do what I do.
Mm.
And fortunately, I love doing what I do. So even when I wake up and I'm like, oh, not today. As soon as I'm showered and I'm out there and I'm walking to the studio and I walk through those sliding doors, it becomes a form of excitement because I realize that there are so many South Africans that choose to switch on their TVs and watch our show because that gives them some kind of energy, some kind of motivation to want to take on the day. And that's a huge responsibility for us. So, the last thing I can think about is my own little world that I live in and wanting to be,
Well, I sometimes feel I am a grumpy, miserable son of a bitch some mornings.
What do you do then?
I make it everyone else's problem. I project my nastiness onto everyone else.
And we just ignore him.
Yeah. Just like you're doing right now. Yeah. Not listening to anything Gareth
is
saying.
My bad is, she's actually plugged in her phone and she's listening to a song right now. Well, I mean, this Espresso show. Now, there's an Espresso in the afternoons.
Afternoon Express.
And, well, whatever. And then there's one in the mornings. Potato, potato. Come on. It's the same thing, right?
It's not. It's not.
The same production company?
Same production company.
Okay.
Different presenters meant for a different market.
Teach me. Teach me.
The segments on their show are a lot longer. They are more aligned towards the stay-at-home mom who takes care of the household, who cooks dinner for the family, who
loves... Fat house bra.
No, not at all. Not at all. Whereas ours is a lot more kind of energetic, shorter segments, getting people ready for the day. You're laughing because you know exactly what I'm talking about. But obviously, both of the shows are aimed at a different demographic, different market.
Okay,
knew this already. You're just trying to be controversial.
No,
with me.
Not at all.
And I haven't even had my first...
Which one? Which of these two shows, afternoon or morning, which one pays more and which one's more important? Come on. Because we all know this. Listen, in radio, if you're not doing the morning show, you don't count. Nobody cares.
I shall say that we don't get mixed up in the finances like that. Eh? We're just there to do our job, and that's it. Okay. You agree about it, right?
So yes? You don't think that Bonang and Genie D are earning more?
Do I think that they are?
Yeah. Doesn't that burn you? Because you were there first.
Say something sensible. No, actually.
No, you too. Stop covering for each other here, or else I'm going to switch off Sia's microphone. Doesn't it irritate you? And you don't have to get into trouble. I'm not going to try and paint you into a corner. Here's what would annoy me. I'll be you for a second.
Okay, you be me for a second.
So ask me now how I feel about
the fact.
Does
it burn you, Gareth, that that guy over there sitting across from me earns more money than you? Because you were here first, Gareth.
I have a
you
name.
You were here first.
I have a name, Damas. Yes.
You know, who cares? I don't. But you tell me.
Yes. I'll tell you why. I was there first. We developed this whole format for Espresso long before they came in with their afternoon express, which is actually just like a diluted top billing. And I'll tell you something else. Those women on that show are getting older. And I am young, and I am energetic, and I am dynamic, and you can't do this morning show without me. I am the linchpin of this show. I am the most recognizable face on this morning show. Those bags on the afternoon, there are so many of them. Just bring in a new one.
Is that what you would have said if you were me?
If I were in a meeting with management.
No, not at all. I can't think like that. For me, it's just about. I really can't. I'm just.
I don't think you really get to have much of a say, because if you are Bonang Matheba, you are Bonang Matheba. End of story.
Yeah. And?
So people are going to throw more money at you because you are Bonang.
But there's also that negotiation table where you can press forward your own point and highlight your own values.
You
but
can,
I'm just thinking.
But I mean, the fact of the matter is, in the real world, profiles mean something, especially in this industry.
Of course.
So that's just the way it works.
Actually, I think it was Jeannie's birthday this week.
2 days ago.
Yeah, 2 days ago, and I sent her a birthday message, and she replied. So I have there's no hard feelings.
Oh, not at all.
And
not
you know,
all.
I like Bonang, right?
Do I know that?
Yeah, I do like her.
Oh, okay, yes.
I do. I've never had any beef with her. Every time I see her, I comment on how beautiful she looks, because she really...
She does, absolutely. All the time. Hey, she won the Oliver Empowerment Award yesterday.
What is that?
It was the 15th annual Oliver Empowerment Awards, and she was nominated in the category for media.
How much empowerment has she done? Here's the deal. The reason I bring this stuff up, it's because, you know, audiences, I think people really like you. I think people like what you do. You have a really good manner about you. You seem to be one of those people who's genuinely enthusiastic about being there and doing your job. You seem to like the people you interview, you work with. It's friendly, it's happy, but the reality is this is a business.
Absolutely.
And very
few
people ever talk about the business of it. And, you know, sometimes they want to be let in behind the curtain to see what's really going on. You don't have to get into trouble. I'll do it for you. All I'm trying to say, they should, I don't know, are you earning decent money?
For what I'm trying to do in my life right now, I'm earning more money than I could ever thought possible.
Forget,
so I'm fine.
Forget everything I just said. If you're happy with the money, then we're good.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I was thinking, though, if it was me, I'd be a little bit nose out of joint that the afternoon show was getting more money.
What's
the next step for you, though, in this job? Because obviously the career trajectory could take you in a number of directions. You're a singer. You're a performer of a kind. You're a TV presenter. You're all of these things. You've got to decide what you really want the next step to be. How old are you now?
I'm 29 right now.
Okay. So perfect age for the next step.
The next step. And I think that I'm going back to my roots, where music has always been a first love of mine. It's how I've always found my way in life in weird situations. And so I've gotten together with friends of mine that I've known since primary school, David Harumsa and Dogozo Mkhize. And we've started producing some tracks that are, you know, leading me to different avenues of my music likes and my music performance styles that I never thought were possible. I wrote and produced a track with them called A Race Against Time.
Is that the one I've got, Flex?
Okay. And we performed it live on Espresso 2 weeks ago to rave reviews, and we even trended in South Africa, and I never thought that would be possible. So it's clearly an indication that people are hopefully ready to hear my take on music and the message that I want to communicate with it. And this is one of the tracks that I hope really breaks the barrier.
All right, well, we're going to play it in a second, let people get a feel for it. I just want to go through some of your achievements here, because we've got some... We've got some awards.
Some awards.
Oh, you have. Not some empowerment one award. You got the Golden Horn for Best TV Presenter 2015-2016 SAFTAs.
Yes.
That's very nice.
That is very, very, very nice indeed. The first and the second to win it.
Excellent. 2 years in a row. Katlego has grown year on year into a well-known TV presenter, singer, voiceover artist, MC, model, and actor.
I don't know about the modeling part, though. That was just like a once-off thing.
Oh, but it's you've got to put it on the CV.
All right, all right. All
right. You've been crowned the most stylish male celebrity in South Africa, the 2014 You Awards.
Yes.
Is that right?
You Spectacular Awards, mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I ended up breaking the Y part of the U because I was traveling to Cape Town from Johannesburg and I had the trophy in the trolley I hit a bump.
Did those cheap bastards replace it for you? I mean, it's not even an expensive trophy, I know.
All I know is that it's still in smithereens in this little cooler bag that I've been keeping it in.
You know what I use mine for? I've got a couple of them. I put them on the floor and I put toilet rolls in my bathroom. For real.
Oh, my word.
It's very useful because you get two toilet rolls on each trophy.
What's her
very
name?
Very good value.
Some lady at the awards actually said that she uses hers as doorstops. She's had so many of them, she's using them as doorstops.
That must have been a soap star because they get lots of them every year.
I really, really want to know where the source of this energy is from. You have so much energy. I just want to know, what time do you go to bed during the week and what you have for breakfast?
I usually go to bed at around 11:30. So half past 11, 12 o'clock. At around 3:30, 4 o'clock.
Oh, jeez.
Breakfast is usually...
So you're obviously using cocaine, obviously.
Yeah. Here it is. Ladies and gentlemen, the big reveal. The big reveal for this morning is that Katlego is a massive crackhead.
But then do you take a nap during the day then? Because how do you function on 4 hours?
I just do. I don't know how. I just do.
No.
Something's not right.
You have to take a nap somewhere in here. Otherwise, it's drugs.
No, I promise you. It's none of the above. I think it might be the coffee that a guy called Henny Groenewald, our engineer at the studio, makes. Uh-huh. He makes it like...
Okay, so Henny's giving you the drugs.
He might be putting something in my
Henny's
coffee.
Your coffee.
I don't
dealer.
Know. He's
but what Flex is saying is like, you've got to... You're in good shape, too. And I remember there was a whole thing about how you were beefing up and you were, you know... You
went through, and
right, you were looking all fit, and there was this tabloid frenzy about how good-looking you were suddenly, bodily. Now, all of this stuff takes a huge amount of effort.
Yeah.
And I imagine that you were eating right, and you've continued to eat right.
Yeah.
So what sort of thing do you have for breakfast? It's very hard when you're on TV first thing in the morning to eat breakfast, and to eat the right breakfast.
Yeah.
Because you could eat junk food, and that's the temptation.
Well, fortunately, last year when I started off this boxing training thing, though, I was training with a guy called Bruce Benjamin, and he got us ready for the charity boxing match. And he laid it down very simply. In the morning, you have your oats as dry as possible.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then you have as much protein as possible. So egg whites, tunas, whatever is just pure protein, have as much of that as possible. That maintains the muscle. And then, regularly keeping fit and being active is also what helps me to, I guess, keep the energy up. But it's nothing else more than that, I promise you.
I believe you. I'm not saying there's anything nefarious.
Just in case some rumors are going to start going around.
No,
there.
Dude.
Cats are crackhead.
No. What about the carbs? When are you having carbs?
Man, I don't know. I don't.
Do you and Katlego want to have a private conversation about diet later on? I think
chat. Everybody
else in the audience is going to pass out from boredom if you keep asking him questions about his diet. Thank you very much.
We'll do it afterwards.
Now, what's interesting, too, I mean, look, I think you would have done just as well. I hardly ever say this, but you would have done just as well because of your energy and I think your enthusiasm for everything. If you weren't as good looking as you are, but if you were, it's helped you, right? It has helped. I mean, you look in the mirror, you're not dissatisfied with how you turned out.
No, but although there was a time when I was.
Tell me.
I used to be like ugly duckling vibes, man.
What was the worst thing about you at that stage?
Man, let's see. I had zero confidence. High school, Potch Boys High.
Yeah.
I played cricket. I was very, very good at sport, but I was the only choir boy at a school of about 500 kids.
Yeah.
And so that kind of smashed up my confidence.
When
a
you
bit
join when the choir, you're asking to be beaten up, right?
Well, yeah. it is what that kind of ecosystem dictates, right? So.
It's horrible.
But look, I've never really even relied on my looks. I don't even think that I am good looking at all. I rely more on my enthusiasm for life and my gratitude for where I am, and just to enjoy every single moment and to make the best of it. I think we live in a very fortunate time where a lot of opportunities are available to all of us. I think it's just about being able to spot when those opportunities happen and then using those to the best of your ability, no matter how small, because they always end up building up. That's at least my thinking.
How do your parents respond to all this this fame and this kind of success and everything else? Are they surprised, or did they always anticipate that you would be something special?
No, my mom wanted me to become an accountant and to become a partner at some audit firm. That was her dream for me. In fact, on the day of registration, my first year, we were standing at a crossroads where I had to either decide to go to the music department and register for my BMus or go and register for my BCom CA. And she just said, you know, just do me this favor, get the degree. Afterwards, you can go ahead and do whatever it is that you like. And she never really believed that I could actually do this. She'd seen the likes of Vinolia Mashihu, who was huge back in her day, and you know, we all admire her for what she
was. I passed her on the streets the other day. She was begging for cash.
Ah, Modimo.
I'm not even lying. Someone told me they saw her. I didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone said they saw her like in Sunnyside in Pretoria, and she looks like a mess.
So it based on things like that she didn't want me to be in the entertainment industry, but obviously as the years rolled on and the success came in and she could see how happy I was doing this, she became an instant supporter, and a fan, and my late grandmother too, where, you know, after Sunday church services, she'd be the one telling everyone about what happened during the week on Espresso, that kind of thing. So the family is extremely proud.
And it sounds like a tight family to me. It sounds like you guys all support each other.
It is. My little sister just started varsity this year, and we chat every single day, and I try and relate my varsity experiences to her to make it easier for her. We are a very tightly knit family.
But are they all still in Potch, and you're in Cape Town?
So my sister and my grandfather are in Potch. Okay. My mom is in Itoseng, which is near to Mafikeng.
Right.
And my uncles. So most
everybody
of my family
spread
is
out.
There. Spread out, yeah. I'm the only one in Cape Town, so far away.
Yeah. And I'd also imagine that being on Espresso, they get to see that you're there every day. So, you know, they know you're doing okay, but you want to check on them the whole time.
Yeah. And I try and do that. I mean, every morning when I wake up, just to say, hey, Mom, have a great day. I love you. And it sounds happy,
nice.
Weird, whatever.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
No, you're allowed to be like that.
It feels good to be able to connect with them and to make sure that they're all right and to be taking care of them whenever I can. So it is a very important part of my life.
What about these other presenters on the show with you?
They're great, aren't they?
I
love them.
You like them all?
Absolutely, absolutely.
There's no one that you don't get along with?
No ways. Honestly speaking, I love every single one of those people.
Because I'll tell you, some days I want to kill my Bali.
Oh, really?
Some days she wants to kill me.
Mm. How often has it happened today?
At least 5 times in the first hour. No, I mean, it's like any other interaction with people, right?
True.
Some days you get irritated with someone, and other days you're just completely in love with them. It's the process.
But for the most part, we really vibe off a great energy that is in studio. The crew, everyone seems to be excited to be on the show on the day.
Sure.
I mean, especially
it looks like that when you watch the show.
It really is that feeling that we have. So I can confidently say that I do love every one of those people, and I'm honored to work with them.
What's the horrible part of your life? Because people want to know. Unfortunately, this is how people are. They see you and they see you doing well, even if they love you and they're happy for you.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know that there's some part of your day that's shitty so that they don't feel they're the only one who has shitty things.
Yeah. I think the shitty part of my day is the fact that I can't really live a normal life in the sense, and I was telling Sia just now that if friends invite me out to go for a dinner, right, let's go and have a chill session as friends, I can't really do that on a normal day because from 6 o'clock I'm already counting down how many hours I've got to go for preparation for sleep and that kind of thing.
But you said you go to bed at 11 or 12.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but I've got a prep, right? So I've got a show to prep for the next day. I don't just
so
rock
what,
up.
What is this prep?
Don't you have people that do that for you, though?
Yeah, there's content producers that give us the basic structure
but
of the content.
But
you need to know what it is. You can't just like, oh, and then Johan gave me this, and what does it say? It doesn't work like that.
Oh, Gareth, you have it easy here.
You guys have it easy here. Okay, well, it works differently with us.
I do nothing. I just arrive.
But just, I guess the extremes as well, the fact that you can, you know, go up the street to go and buy some milk and sugar, and you have everyone just saying, oh my gosh, it's the guy from Espresso. And then
that's cool.
That's the one extreme of it. And then you're at home, and then that's gone. So then you're at home alone in your own world. It's a bit of a manic situation.
Who do you rely on when you need really good advice? I mean, is there someone that you can call?
It depends on what kind of advice I need.
Career.
Yeah. Career advice. I've had a very good relationship with Michael Mole over the past couple of years. And in fact, when we started off
the Michael
show.
Mole,
yeah. When we started the show, he was like my rock. He was the guy that believed in me when I thought, man, how do I even find my feet in this world?
What's he up to at the moment?
Well, right now he's doing a lot of motivational speaking. Of course, the Hello Doctor Network is still going online, but he's promoting through various countries all over the world. He's doing very, very well with that. But I think for the most part, he's just a genuine family man. He enjoys spending a lot of time with his family. But Ewan and I, for instance, Ewan Stradom, him and I started together on Espresso. Mm-hmm. We vibe very, very well, and we give each other advice. We share stories, experiences, and that kind of thing. So that also helps me kind of keep level-headed where the industry is concerned. And Ilana, who's also been in the industry for quite a long time and understands it, I ask her for advice quite a lot of the time.
Ilana Africa?
Yes, Brian Gump. Ilana Africa,
well, that's her, yeah. Ben was telling me about a funny story. What was the story you mentioned this morning? Because I found a picture. I've been going through the archives. I'm writing a book at the moment.
Oh, nice.
And, well, I hope so. And I saw this picture of Ben and Ilana and I. We were pulling faces at the camera. What did she ask you to do once?
She once had to do this Day in the Life of Ilana for Heskenut. So she said, Ben, just come have breakfast with me because they just want to see like a normal day. So I was like, cool, what's it going to entail? He said, like, look, they're going to take photos of us just talking and laughing normally. So I kept telling her, you've got to make these funny hand gestures like you're talking about huge penises. And then I would put my hands out like this and she would blush. And then, yeah, I didn't use any of it.
That's great, though.
But she's a sweetheart, too.
Absolutely.
Also. Full of energy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she's a great mom as well. Hey? She regularly shares pictures.
I can't imagine her as a mom.
Really?
No.
No, she is absolutely crazy about EB, and she shows us pictures and videos every single day.
All right, what's going on in your personal life? What have we got going on there? Any love interest?
Oh, man.
Is it hard to keep a relationship going?
I think I've gotten to the stage of my life where I realize that I'm ready for a proper relationship, one that can actually be long-lasting. Because my biggest excuse for the past couple of years has just been that I work too hard, and I find it unfair for me to be so dedicated to my work, but I can't give the same sort of dedication to someone who loves me and who wants to be with me. I would rather work 23 hours of the day, sleep for one,
This is big news. You're ready for a relationship now. Is that what I heard?
That's what I said. Don't make it sound so hectic,
though. No, this is a bit... Come on.
No, come on.
This is a big deal. Everybody stop whatever you're doing. This is massive.
Nah.
He's ready for a relationship. Okay, now the question is, what kind of girl are we going to find? Or is there already one?
There is not one currently.
There is or there isn't?
There is not. There is not.
You sound like you were a little bit unsure.
There is not.
Okay.
right now.
Okay.
Kind of girl. I'm looking for a homegirl, man. The one that you can take to your mom and be proud of. One who's been raised in a good family.
Okay, so
got
sluts, get out of it. The sluts are not invited.
You know, someone that I can build a family with one day. I know it sounds... I always go like, damn it, stop being so mushy, man. Where's your street cred at, dog? Get it back. No, but it's not... I mean, that's the kind of background that I come from, and that's what I want to raise a family in one day, you know.
Mm. Dude, please don't get me wrong. I think it is fantastic that more and more men are starting to say, these are the things I want, no matter how slushy and mushy and... schmoozy these things are. If you're a guy and you feel that that's what you want to do and you want to raise kids and you want to have a happy family, you should say it. It's nothing to be ashamed about.
Right there.
That whole idea of being a man because you're getting action around every corner and you're chasing this woman and that woman and the next day it's changing. Come on. Who are we trying to kid?
Yeah, so... but
good
I'm not,
for you.
I'm not actively on the hunt. I'm just kind of letting it happen. I put it out there into the universe, so...
All right.
If she rocks up, then hey, how you doing?
What do you believe in? I mean, are you a religious dude?
Yeah, I was raised up in a Christian home, Anglican church. Grandma forced me to go to church for some number of years.
This grandma is a powerhouse, huh?
Late grandma, unfortunately, we lost her last year, but she was a powerhouse, man. She was disciplinarian par excellence, and, you know, her backhand was as stiff as anything you've ever felt in your life. But,
every family's got a matriarch.
Yeah. And it's now when I look back at it that I appreciate so much what she instilled in me, even though I hated it back then. It was so worth it. Without her, I wouldn't be who I am.
But isn't it nice that she got to see your success?
Yes, absolutely.
She got to see her grandson on TV every day.
Yeah.
That's kind of.
And she was actually featured in one of our music videos with Flipper Coin as well.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you make her do?
We had to sit around a table and pretend like we're having.
Did you make her beatbox?
No.
You made your grandmother beatbox.
That would have been fun. Yeah, but it's still one of those memories when I look at that video. It's quite cool that she got to share in that experience with me.
I think you're one of those people who. You just are. It's very natural for you to find the point of view you have on things, because you're not putting on a show. I mean, you're a performer, but you're not putting on a show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. This is who I am. This is who I was brought up to be. And you know, sometimes it's cool to some people. Sometimes it's completely uncool to some people. But you know, it's who I can and only be.
Okay, what about if this music thing really becomes the central focus? I mean, putting out a song now, is that something you want to do that is all-consuming, or are you going to try and keep doing a bunch of different things?
I think I will always try and do a bunch of things. I've always been like that. I've never been that person that just goes into one thing and stays there.
Okay, but what are you primarily?
Primarily, I'm a musician.
Okay,
music that's the core of it all.
Okay,
but I do like to, you know, use all of my talents as much as possible wherever I can. So if it were possible to have both worlds existing at such a high level, and I'm talking about television production and then music production as well, and performance and touring and all of those things, that would be wonderful. But yeah, music is where my heart is. That's the truth.
Okay. Have you met the guys from Lone Hill Estate outside?
I see them. Yes, yeah. Yes, I have.
Nathan looks like Jesus with the long hair. Look at him.
He does.
He looks like Jesus.
From your Mad Max Fury with those earphones hanging
personal
around.
Personal Jesus. And when he puts on those weird goggle sunglasses of his, they're like welding goggles. Then he really looks terrifying. Mad Max comes to life.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so if you're a musician, eventually they're going to say to you, okay, Katlego, listen, we want you to do top billing. Is that something you would do?
I've thought about that, and people have asked me that before. I don't know. What? Not right now. Not right now.
Okay, but you would if they asked you.
Later on in life. Much later on in life.
But you look, dude, you're 30 next year, you know?
This year.
You're turning 30 this year. Like,
yeah.
I said, didn't you hear me? You're turning 30 this year. If they ask you, when is the right time? They don't want you when you're 40.
I'd still be as good looking as I am now.
I have no doubt, but they don't want you when you're 40.
They want me now.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. No, right now my dedication in terms of TV is Espresso.
But come on, you would drop Espresso like a hot stone if they said to you, you can do top billing instead, travel the world, go to these exotic locations.
No, hey.
Come on.
I'm serious, dude.
Really?
I'm serious. That's how much I love Espresso.
Really?
Absolutely. Dude, I've been there from the start, from the very beginning, day one.
Don't steal the lines I gave you earlier when we were contract negotiating. Don't use that ammo back on me.
It's not even that. It's just I've been nursing this little baby from day one, and
right.
I'm so invested in it. So no, I wouldn't easily drop it for a top billing.
If they gave you your own show?
Ooh.
Now we're talking, right? Then you drop Espresso.
Ooh.
What kind of show would you do? If they said to you, all right, Katlego, we love you so much. You've got so much of the stuff we need on TV right now. And TV is hard. It's harder than it's ever been.
Yeah.
All businesses are, because this digital environment has made everything different.
What kind of show?
What kind of show would you
do? Man, I really think that South Africa needs a lot more positivity and just a change of perspective where we try and steer away from the negativity, but not be oblivious to it. Don't get me wrong with that. So,
exactly.
I look at a show like the Ellen DeGeneres Show. I love the energy that she puts out, the way that she puts her content together, uh-huh. and how she, at the end of the day, just always inspires people to find their better selves, you know, with that mm-hmm. saying at the end, saying, be kind to one another. Mm-hmm. I love that kind of thinking. So it'd be something along the lines of that, and something which particularly, I think, gives a lot of young people the opportunity to explore their talents.
All right. Have you ever acted out and done something stupid and been outrageously irresponsible?
I'm trying to think now, going back. There was that one time.
What happened?
There was that one time.
On band camp.
At band camp.
What?
And there was a horse race.
You got a trumpet up your asshole? What happened? What happened at the horse race? Was it the J&B Mets?
No, it wasn't the J&B Mets.
Was it the Durban July?
Gosh.
What happened?
Do you have to bring this back?
Yes. You brought it up.
Well, no, you asked me, and I'm trying to be honest with you, right?
You brought up this incident. Now you've got to go follow through. Come on. Otherwise, I'm going to read the tabloids, and I'll find out anyway.
Well, does it involve you having to be bailed out of jail?
No, not at all. No. It was a simple thing where, you know, I was kissing someone I wasn't meant to be kissing at the time. And
was she someone else's girlfriend?
I don't know that for sure.
Was she someone else's wife?
I don't know that for sure.
Ah, we're all guilty of
that. Was it Manduli? And is the president hunting you down to kill you? Is that what happened?
No. Next question, Your Honor. Next question.
No. This could be the most interesting thing that I've heard in a long time. Now tell me.
Oh, man.
What happened?
I don't, we're just all having a good time.
You were drunk?
We were all having a good time.
Okay, so, you know, you don't have to be embarrassed about this.
No.
Your grandmother's dead. She's not going to be upset anymore. You're allowed to say. You're allowed to say that you were drunk, and there was this very attractive woman. Must I tell the story?
It sounds like you have the facts already, so why am I even being questioned about this?
Sia, do you know the story?
No, I genuinely don't.
Neither do I. Come on, tell us now.
No, but I think everyone possibly might have read it in, the Heat magazine? Yeah.
Do you want us to be friends?
I do, of course, Gareth. I thought you were already.
I
want to
be your friend. I'm deciding still.
Okay? Oh, okay.
I want to be your friend.
I'm on probation.
I need to know, like, when you're friends with someone, you don't want to hear just the nice things about them. You also need to know when they've behaved badly.
Yeah, of course.
So and like, tell me the story.
So what happened?
People will love you more.
We went to the horse races, right? Yeah. And we were all together as a group of friends, and we had a couple of drinks, and it was great. And later on in the night, there was a vibe. You know when there's a vibe,
sure.
It's just instantaneous, and you look into each other's eyes. And we snogged, okay? We snogged.
There were cameras.
There weren't cameras. That's the thing. There were no cameras, right? Friends were like, yo, dude, don't do that. There are people around. I'm like, oh, man, we're just kissing, dude. That's all we did. But then what happens then is that this tabloid person gets wind of the story that, oh, my gosh, Katleho was seen kissing this person, right?
Who's this person?
No, I will not do that because it's not my place to name and shame.
Is she well known?
It's not my place to name and shame them.
All I want to know is she well known?
I will not go into that territory.
Is she well known?
I'm not going to go into that territory because that is not right of me.
Was
to
it?
Put the,
a beauty queen. Okay, just wink at me once if it's a beauty queen. Was it a TV presenter? Was it someone
like
called
I said,
Lorna?
I refuse to name
was
and
it Lorna?
Anyone.
Okay,
it is not my place to do that at all.
No, I like that. I respect that. Yeah. You're a respectful guy. So Lorna pulled into you. And then you guys... And
is this why you guys want to kill him, right?
And then you guys ended up in the tabloids, and clearly, like, you were slightly embarrassed by this, but I don't think this is embarrassing.
No, but it is.
No, why? This is a good-looking guy and a good-looking girl getting together.
It's embarrassing the way they put it out, okay?
Well, screw them. You could put it out the right way. It was
exactly.
Just an innocent nothing.
Exactly. And nothing happened from there, so...
Right.
Sure.
Let me give you a clue. From now on, when these monsters from the tabloids come up to
yeah.
you tell them the real story, and then they can't print a lie.
But that's exactly what I did. And then what they proceeded to say is that a source said this and this and this. We tried to call the other person for comment, but there was none. And so they made up their own conclusion, even though I'd given them...
No harm done, right?
No.
Nobody wants to kill you.
Not at all.
Then we're fine.
Absolutely.
All right. I promise you worse things... Worst things are going to and can happen to anyone.
Gosh.
Life is going to be interesting. So, is there anything that you still want to do in terms of television on Expresso that they haven't allowed you to do? Like, you want to do something really wacky because you're a guy who can beatbox and you can sing and sometimes you get a chance to show off those talents on the show. Is there anything you really want to do on the show and they've said to you, no, that's pushing the envelope?
Fortunately, my producers allow me to do pretty much anything that I want to do, because they know that I regard that space as sacred, so I'll never, you know, kind of mess around with it. But I do definitely want to do more performances, so as the music develops, I'll be wanting to do a lot more of that, so it's a great platform to be promoting the music as well.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, I mean, I think in terms of the broader television industry, I'm trying to be on that Ryan Seacrest level where, you know, you are a producer, you are in front of the camera, you are conceptualizing TV shows, all those kinds of things, and hopefully with the experience I've gathered over the past couple of years, I can put it to good use.
Well, dude, if there's anyone who could do it, it'll be you.
Thank you very much for that conversation.
Good luck to you, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for the opportunity to be here. Cliff Central, you rock.
Thank you. Yeah. Have you been on before with Ari in the afternoon?
With Ari, yeah. That was in Cape Town. We did a little podcast there.
He said
him.
You were great.
I enjoyed the time with him as well. All I right. really enjoyed it.
People like you.
I like you too.
I said people.
Yeah, but I didn't say.
I didn't say I liked you. But I said people like
you. Oh, so I didn't pass the friendship test now?
Of course you did. Listen, good to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Keep doing your good work. And say hello to the family for us.
Will do.
And say hello to all those people at Espresso in Cape Town.
Yes, will do.
How many of you on that team?
Six of us. Graham Richards, Ewan Stradom, Ilana Africa, Leanne Williams, Zoe Brown, Katlego my boy.
You've been there the longest. You are the one who was there from the start.
Myself and Ewan, yes.
You and whatever.
Oh, gee whiz.
You are the main guy. Come on. There he is. Ladies and gentlemen, Katlego my boy. And there we go. He's the most important man on that show. Even if he doesn't say so. I'm allowed to say so for him. Coming up in a moment or two, we're going to check in with the guys from Lone Hill Estate. I haven't spoken to them in a while. But here is the original clip from Espresso.
The breakfast show, Espresso. Now, before the break, I said that they will be singing it.
This is Ilana, right?
That's Ilana introducing the song.
People are making change.
And we've dedicated the song to Human Rights
Day.
What
better way to do it?
She still sounds good, Ilana.
Absolutely.
She still looks good?
Absolutely.
Even after the child tore apart her vagina coming out of there?
Wow.
She still looks good, right?
She's like my sister. I can't be saying, commenting on such things.
Well, in light of Human Rights Day that has just passed, we decided to bring in, the whole team, our very own Katlego my boy, wrote this song. It speaks out against racism. And here also joining him, a whole choir, but Erika Appels, Ntokozo Mkhize, David Haramsa, and the Sing the Change Choir. Here they are with Race Against Time.
CliffCentral.com.